On the third anniversary of its retaliatory missile strike on a major U.S. base, Iran stresses once again that it will avenge the U.S. assassination of General Soleimani. Iran marks the third anniversary of the tragic downing of a Ukrainian passenger plane near Tehran. Also in the headlines, the end of zero COVID policy. China lifts quarantine requirements for inbound travelers after nearly 3 years. Thanks for joining us. The top Iranian military commander has reiterated Tehran's resolve to take revenge on those responsible for the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani. Chief Commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps said that this will be done sooner or later, and the perpetrators will be brought to justice. Hossein Salami hailed General Soleimani, saying the late commander was at the forefront of the fight against terrorism. The IRGC chief said Soleimani rendered enemies' plots ineffective. He also hailed the massive participation of Iranians in General Soleimani's funeral. A senior Iranian military commander says the U.S. assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani laid bare the true colors of the American regime and unmasked its terrorist nature to the whole world. In an exclusive interview with Press TV's Insight program, General Shekarchi added that the terrorist and racist nature of the U.S. has even been revealed to its own people. He said African Americans have been mistreated and fatally shot on numerous occasions, as documented by numerous videos and images. Elsewhere in the remarks, the top commander said that Iran has never invaded any country or violated the rights of any nation. However, he noted that Iran will stand up to global hegemony and any aggressors who have their eyes on its territory. He said that the enemy intends to dominate Iranian people, but to no avail, as the nation stands firm against any such encroachment. Today marks the third anniversary of Iran's ballistic missile attack against the U.S. Ain al-Assad air base in Iraq's western province of Al-Anbar. The raid was carried out in retaliation for the assassination of Iran's top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps unleashed more than a dozen ballistic missiles on the base. It caused significant damage, while the Pentagon said more than 100 American forces suffered traumatic brain injuries. The attack in January 2020 was the largest of its kind in modern history. Iran called it a first slap in the face of the U.S. and vowed harsher revenge in the future. The missile strike came as Iran laid to rest General Soleimani, who, along with his comrades, was killed in a U.S. drone strike near Baghdad Airport. General Soleimani played a pivotal role in the fight against Daesh terrorists, both in Iraq and in Syria. Iran is also marking the third anniversary of the tragic downing of a Ukrainian passenger plane near Tehran. Ukrainian flight PS752 was en route to Kiev and was shot down shortly after taking off from Imam Khomeini Airport. All 176 people on board were killed. Iran acknowledged days later that the mismanagement of an air defense unit's radar system by its operator was the key human error that led to the accident. At the time of the incident, Iran's air defenses were on high alert in anticipation of a potential U.S. attack. Hours before the tragedy, Iran had launched a missile strike against the U.S. base in Iraq, retaliation for the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Tehran has launched an investigation into the crash and has promised that all those culpable would face justice. At the same time, Iran has warned against any foreign political exploitation of the incident. Washington's animosity toward Tehran continues unabated. In a new move, the U.S. has slapped a new set of sanctions against Iran, accusing the Islamic Republic of sending drones to Russia. The U.S., of course, has a long history of imposing such measures targeting Iranian individuals and entities. But what is the U.S. really seeking by maintaining such an approach?
The United States has yet again imposed a fresh round of sanctions against the Islamic Republic. This time, targeting the country's suppliers of drones, Washington claims Russia has been using in the war in Ukraine. The sanctions targeted six executives and board members of Kursk Aviation Industries. The U.S. Department of Treasury said the group, which has been under U.S. sanctions since 2013, was a key Iranian defense manufacturer responsible for designing and producing drones. Washington said the drones have been used to target civilian infrastructure in Ukraine during the conflict with Russia. Among those designated was Sayed Hojatollah Qureshi, Quds Aviation Industries board chairman and senior official in Iran's Ministry of Defense and Armed Forces Logistics. The Treasury said Qureshi had led Iran's military research and development efforts and was responsible for negotiating Iran's agreement with Russia for the supply of the Iranian drones for the war in Ukraine. The Treasury also imposed sanctions on Qasem Damovandian, Quds Aviation Industries managing director and board member. It said he had likely facilitated the group's supply of drones to Iran's military services and the training of Russian personnel on the use of drones. The accusations come as Iranian officials say Ukrainians have so far failed to provide any evidence for their claim that Russia was using Iranian drones in its war on Ukraine. Speaking following a technical meeting between Ukrainian and Iranian experts, Iran's Defense Minister Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Ashtiani said the Ukrainian side had stopped short of presenting any evidence of Russia's use of Iranian drones in its war in Ukraine. Prior to that, Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian had also reacted to the U.S. and other Western countries' allegations, noting that Tehran had provided Moscow with a limited number of drones, but the delivery had taken place months before the war in Ukraine. The sanctions come as the U.S. Treasury says it will continue to use every tool at its disposal to deny Russian President Vladimir Putin the weapons he is using to wage his unprovoked war in Ukraine. The Friday sanctions also targeted the director of Iran's Aerospace Industries Organization, which the Treasury claimed was the key organization responsible for overseeing Iran's ballistic missile programs. The move freezes any U.S. assets of those designated and generally bars Americans from dealing with them. Those engaged in certain transactions with the targeted individuals also risk being hit by sanctions. The United States has previously imposed sanctions on companies and people it accused of producing or transferring Iranian drones that Russia has used to attack infrastructure in Ukraine.
Even though Iran has provided its drones prior to when Russia's military operation began in Ukraine, the U.S. and its allies continue with their weapon assistance. For example, the U.S. and its allies are now poised to deliver a variety of armored fighting vehicles to Ukraine. Germany will supply Marder fighting vehicles and Leopard tanks. France is going to send what's called light AMX-10 RC armored combat vehicles. And the U.S. will provide Bradley fighting vehicles to Ukraine that can take out T-72 tanks. Yet Iran is being targeted and sanctioned by the U.S.
The military-related sanctions on Iran are just a small part of the U.S. so-called maximum pressure campaign against the Islamic Republic. Washington has left no stone unturned in pressuring Tehran to fulfill its demands, given that the so-called maximum pressure policy has so far failed to produce the intended result. It is widely believed that by pressuring the government and subsequently the people of Iran, what the United States is and has been pursuing after 40 years of the Islamic Revolution is seeking regime change. The sanctions against Iran over the supply of drones to Ukraine comes as the West has itself been fanning the flames of the Ukraine war by providing billions of dollars worth of military assistance to Kiev. That includes the United States, Germany, France, and the UK. The weapons they provide range from Marder fighting vehicles and Leopard tanks like AMX-10 RC armored combat vehicles and Abrams tanks. This is while providing Kiev with such weaponry could increase the risk of direct confrontation between Moscow and the West. Iran has been under the UN and US sanctions since the 1979 revolution. What comes to the spotlight is the futility of such all-out anti-Tehran measures. Despite 40 years of pressure and sanctions on the Islamic Republic, not only Iran has not stopped, but it has progressed, so the sanctions tactic has lost its effectiveness in a sense. This rather indicates that the United States seems to be escaping the frustration caused by its failure against the Iranian nation's iron will. The resilience of Iran's economy is not the only reason why the unlawful American maximum pressure campaign of sanctions against Tehran has failed. The maximum pressure policy against Iran was initiated by former U.S. President Donald Trump when he unilaterally pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal to strike a better agreement, which he hoped would restrict Iran's ballistic missile program and its influence in West Asia. Eventually, his hopes and aspirations became more and more far-fetched with each passing day. Now, the Trump-imposed sanctions regime has been maintained by the Biden administration, although they realize it has been an abject failure. Could this be because they see no alternative course of action? What seems to be of very high significance is the fact that the Biden administration has realized that Trump's so-called maximum pressure campaign not only didn't work, but only helped strengthen the Islamic Republic of Iran in the international arena. Yet Iran stands. How so? Iran's economy and partners are diversified with initiatives to circumvent such U.S. measures.
One person is killed after Russia resumes bombing of eastern Ukraine regions, ending a self-declared ceasefire along the front line that lasted 36 hours. The death was from the shelling that hit the northern region of Kharkiv. Ukrainian officials also reported explosions across the broader Donbas region, which has been the front line for months. The truce was announced by Moscow for Orthodox Christmas celebrations that fell on Saturday, but Kiev rejected the ceasefire. The Kremlin now says Moscow will push ahead with the war until victory is achieved. UK Prime Minister calls for radical actions to reform Britain's crisis-hit healthcare system. Rishi Sunak made the remarks in an emergency meeting with British health leaders. He said bold moves should be taken, like the ones during the COVID pandemic, to resolve the crisis. The meeting comes as the UK is witnessing a rare strike by health workers who want a salary hike at the time when inflation has soared to record levels in the country. Britain has faced a wave of industrial action over the last few months, with strikes crippling various sectors. The government is planning to introduce a new law that would make it harder for key workers to strike. Our London correspondent Amina Taylor was with us for a closer look at the situation in the UK as healthcare workers continue their strikes.
This is the very same government, albeit headed by a different leader, who stood on the front of Downing Street, on the front of their homes, in their constituencies, and urged the country to clap for our key workers who were risking life and limb in order to get us through the pandemic. And now, instead of sitting at the table, negotiating with good intent, in good faith, you're now looking at ways in which health workers, key workers, it will make it more difficult for them to strike. That smacks me as the very height of not just a level of callousness and cruelty, but a level of hypocrisy, because these are MPs, members of parliament, who go back year after year and ask for a price hike in terms of their salary range, which is well over £85,000, because inflation has gone up. And here we are with record levels of inflation, with health workers, especially nurses, saying, listen, in essence, what you're offering us is a huge pay cut, because wages have fallen since the government took over, since the different incarnations of the Conservatives since 2010. They're actually experiencing a wage decrease. Unless you put that up in the region of 19%, it's a pay cut. There was a level of goodwill toward Rishi Sunak, like, let's hear what he has to say. Let's give him an opportunity to address this issue head on. And the strategies that have so far emerged from him and his office have been disappointed.
China has officially ended its quarantine requirements for inbound travelers after nearly 3 years, despite struggling with a nationwide surge of COVID cases. All travelers are still required to test negative for COVID-19 within 48 hours of departure. Mainland China has also opened its border with Hong Kong. Beijing last month began a dramatic dismantling of a hardline zero-COVID strategy that involved mandatory quarantines and grueling lockdowns. Containment policy had generated resentment throughout China and led to nationwide protests just before it was eased. Colombia's relations with neighboring Venezuela has improved under the country's first-ever leftist president. The latest sign, Gustavo Petro has traveled to Venezuela to meet his counterpart Nicolas Maduro. It is the leader's second meeting since Petro took power from Iván Duque last August, and the official resumption of diplomatic ties 1 month later. The trip also comes just days after the final reopening of the South American neighbor's shared border that was closed for years. Venezuela severed diplomatic relations with its neighbor in 2019, this after Bogota backed Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido as the interim government. Peruvians hit the streets again, demanding the resignation of President Dina Boluarte, who took over from her ousted predecessor Pedro Castillo in December. Protesters stormed airports, blocked roads, and burnt tires in several cities, defying a state of emergency. 24 people have been killed since last month. The violence has prompted two ministers to resign from Boluarte's new government. Peru has been in a turmoil ever since Castillo was removed from office and arrested for attempting to dissolve Congress to avoid an impeachment. The former rural school teacher is now in pretrial detention over charges of rebellion and conspiracy. His successor, Boluarte, has already rescheduled general elections to minimize public anger. And with that, we come to an end with this additional world news. That's bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of radio.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 8, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And of course, if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And here we've received reception reports from around the world from Mazhab Chandra Sagur from India, Fabio Junior da Silva from Brazil, and Lars Escoland from Sweden. So, Mazhab Chandra Sagur, Fabio Junior da Silva, and Lars Escoland, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here and later during the program. I will read these great emails. Nico Genoves from Italy has sent us an email. Alexei Kolakov from Russia has sent us a message. Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh has sent us a piece of email. Again, from Bangladesh, we've received an email from MD Mizanur Rahman. And then last but not the least is an email from Reginaldo Anunciação from Brazil. Stay with us, please. Again, welcome to the program. Here we have an email from Italy from Nico Genovese. So let's see what Nico says. Dearest friends, I thank you for your warm wishes, which I reciprocate with affection. Let's hope this 2023 will be a better year for all of us, a year of peace and joy. Peace and joy have been the feelings that have accompanied my family's Christmas memories since I was a child. I'm originally from Messina, Sicily. It was tradition in my family to bring all members together at the table. Often the relatives who lived further away and those we hardly saw each other during the rest of the year, gathered around the same table to share happy moments. Now I live in Torosino, a town about 100 kilometers from Rome, and the traditions have not changed. We try to be together as much as possible with the family, only that the roles have changed. Now I am no longer that little boy who was anxiously awaiting the arrival of Christmas and especially the New Year, but now I am a parent who tries to make their children experience the same magic. Dear friends, I greet you again and wish you a serene and fruitful 2023. Nico Genovese from Italy. Salam. Ciao. Warm greetings to you. And thank you very much for this email. It was very interesting. I mean, sharing your Christmas and New Year experiences with us and with our great listeners around the world. On behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate you. And of course, all our Christian listeners and friends on the start of 2023. And we wish you all the best. Nico Genovese from Italy. We in Iran celebrate the new year in spring on the first day of the Iranian month of Farvardin. We call it Nowruz, meaning the new year. Anyway, I appreciate you for sharing your new year and Christmas experience with us. It was really kind of you. So Nico Genovese from Italy, please accept our EQSL as verification. We wish you all the best and we wish a very happy new year 2023 to you and your family members. Please write to us soon and of course tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And from Russia, we've received an email from Alexei Kolakov. Let's see what Alexei tells us. Sorry for the late reply. I want to congratulate you and all listeners on the occasion of the new year. Happy New Year 2023. Wish you more happiness, health and peace. With very best wishes from Russia. Salam and warm greetings to you. Alexei Kolakov from Russia, these warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and Happy New Year 2023 to you, Alexei Kolakov from Russia. We wish you all the best. We wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings to you in 2023, and wish you more happiness, health, and peace. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with you with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. As for your information, you just heard a piece of music, Iranian music from southern Iran. I like it very much. And Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Let's see what Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh says. Dear IRIB English Radio, I'm very happy that you wished me joy and prosperous year in my crisis time. Few days ago, when it was only me and my mother at home, suddenly she fell down on the floor and lost consciousness. Thank God that time I was present and close to my mother and could take her to the hospital as soon as possible. After taking a CT scan of brain, we found that there is something wrong with her brain. So now I request you and all the listeners of your radio by my heart to make a special prayer for my mother. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh. And thank you for this email. We are so sorry for what happened to your mother. And of course, we all pray for her to recover soon and get better soon. Good health is the greatest gift, I think, that God grants us. So we ask God to give you, your mother, and all your family members good health and prosperity. We are so sorry for this incident. Please write to us soon and let us know if your mother is in a good condition and if she is okay. We all pray for her from the bottom of our heart. Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh. Please write to us soon. Thank you for this email. Again from Bangladesh, we've received an email from MD Mizanur Rahman, one of our old and regular listeners. MD Mizanur Rahman says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, I like your reports about international news. Your reports and news programs provide me with the information that I want. Your website is very informative. Anybody can get news and reports on current issues in the world from your website. I thoroughly enjoy learning about your culture and your country. You created an atmosphere where every seeker of the real events can get the gist without sweat, especially through your website updates. I regularly visit this website and get a lot of information. I'm very thankful to all staff for working hard only and for us. I came to know that you often send some promotional items to your regular listeners. Thank you for your cooperation and hope for answers. Salam and warm greetings to you, MD Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. And this greeting comes from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We are thankful for hearing this email, the glad news you had that you liked the programs, and we wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And please accept our EQSL as verification, since sending any material on behalf of our radio in the time of pandemic, unfortunately, is not possible. Thank you again. MD Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. And after a short break, I will be back with you. And let's go to the Southern Hemisphere, where we've received an email from Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil. Let's see what Reginaldo says. A happy new year 2023, and thank you for your sweet message on this very occasion. I should say that I am so happy these days, as I'm going to spend the holiday with my family and friends. Here in Brazil, Christmas is a little different because we are in the Southern Hemisphere and it's actually summer in Brazil. And not only the weather, but also the food and melodies are also different from the countries in the Northern Hemisphere. Thank you again for your beautiful message and Happy New Year to all the listeners. Salam and warm greetings to you. And I do appreciate you for this email. And we wish you peace, joy, love and good tidings in the new year 2023. And of course, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil, who lives in Southern Hemisphere, and as you said, the weather, the food and melodies are very different from the countries in the Northern Hemisphere, and the atmosphere is in Christmas and the New Year is so different with the people who live in the Northern Hemisphere, just like those people who live in Australia and New Zealand and other countries in the Southern Hemisphere. It was great. Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And here we come to the end of our program. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So previously we started looking at human rights from the scope and the point of view of Islam. We said the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did is that He honored mankind by saying, I created them with my own bare hands, which means they are equal and to me they are special. That's the simplest message we can get from it. Even though that we are divided over 5 continents around the world, we share one thing. There's one thing in common that we all share, and that is our humanity. So disregarding our color, disregarding our language, disregarding our lineage, or our tribe, or our nation, or our countries, we share one common factor, which is our humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, in verse 1, He says, O people, fear your Lord, be pious to your Lord. And this is the key word here, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. He who created you from one soul, which is our, let's say, our father Adam and Eve. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and from that one soul he created azwajan, partners. And then he said he made many men and women. So the basic message here is that we as human beings, regardless of who we are, where we are, what we have, we share one factor, which is our humanity. That's something that we should never forget. That's something we should never let go of. Because once we forget that we are equal in humanity, then division happens between us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again in chapter Al-A'raf in verse 35, he says, and he talks, he says, Ya Bani Adam. And this is very, very special word that Allah uses in the Quran. Sometimes he directs the talk or the speech to the mu'mineen and he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. Sometimes to people, Ya ayyuhal nas, O people. And sometimes he goes back to the root word of things and he says, Ya Bani Adam, sons of Adam. Which means what? Which means to me, you are all the same. You're all human beings. You all come from Adam, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he addresses them with that, and then he says, you know, when you get messengers from my side, and these messengers, they're trying to judge between you and so on and so forth. Those who do good, they have nothing to fear. And, you know, and they should not be sad, and so on and so forth. The ayah continues. So these two verses in the Quran, it shows us that we are sharing a common denominator, which is our humanity. That's the common ground between all of us that we always should keep in our mind, no matter where we are and who we are. And I keep repeating these words, just so they sink in. Because sometimes we look at another person from a different country or from a different background, from a different color, and inside us we feel, you know, we feel, we look at them with a look that is degrading. And we try to, you know, lift ourselves up above them. No, no, no. Keep these words in mind, that we are still human beings and that is something that we share together. Let's take a break and we continue after the break, inshallah.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and you are still listening to the program For Humanity. So just before we went to the break, we said, as a human beings, divided over five continents, we share one common denominator, which is our humanity. We are equal in humanity. Now, obviously, we are not denying the fact that human beings themselves, they differ when it comes to their languages, to their colors, to their, you know, things that they do in their life. Obviously, there are differences between us. We are not equal in this regard. We are not all the same color. We don't all speak the same language. We don't all like the same thing. So there are differences between us as a human beings. But that difference between us, no matter what it is, it should not divide us when it comes to our root, which is our humanitarian aspect, which is our human essence. So we should not make that as a point of division. For example, when you look at different flowers in a garden and they have different fragrances, it's still one beautiful garden, regardless of the different colors. Or when you look at the different clothes that we wear as well. So you have different clothes, different shapes, different sizes, different colors. But at the end of the day, you in your closet, you have multiple items of clothes which are different. But to you, they're all loved because you bought them, you like them, you wear them from time to time, you keep changing. So that change doesn't mean you prefer one over the other. We say, okay, this is something I should glorify and honor and that I should reject. That's no such a thing. That just makes no sense whatsoever. So when it comes to this difference between us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again in the Quran, He touches upon that. He does not say, well, no, this fact I will overlook. For example, if you're in chapter Ar-Rum, verse 22, Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, from His signs, the signs of the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, obviously the creation of heavens and earth. And then He says, also as a sign that we need to ponder upon and contemplate upon, He says, وَاخْتِلَافِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ, the change and difference in your tongues. So when you look at people and you see that, you know, thousands and millions of people, and each one speaks a different language, that itself is the miracle of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first thing Allah touches upon, which is language. And says, وَأَلْوَانَكُمْ, and your color. Also, when you see human beings of different colors, that's a miracle of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ, in that, there's a sign for people, for mankind to ponder upon. So your color and your language is not a point of difference. Don't think of it as a point of difference, or you look at it from a racial aspect. No, Allah says this is an ayah, a sign of my creation, a beauty of my creation. So it should not divide you when it comes to your essence as human beings. Rather, it should bring you together, like we said, like a garden that has different roses, different flowers in it. And all these different colors, it gives the garden beauty. So when you have one garden with one same color, usually it becomes a bit dull. It doesn't have life to it. But when you have a garden that has multiple colors and different flowers and different fragrances, it gives it a special look. It makes it look more beautiful. So when we look at ourselves as a human beings and we have different languages and different colors, that should bring us together, not divide us. So regardless of who we are, what we speak, and what color we are, we have one essence, which is our humanity, which the Quran in many times highlights and speaks about and tries to bring the attention of people to this fact. We will continue this episode, inshallah, or this topic in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. صل يا ربي على طه الأمين رحمة أرسلته للعالمين. We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Scientists continue to raise alarm about the intertwined climate and biodiversity crises, warning that Western countries are losing the ability to lead as they break climate commitments. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Global Times noted, talking in high profile while dragging the feet, such contradictory actions are not sustainable when it comes to dealing with climate change. Only reasonable deeds can be pushed forward in a sustainable way, and only countries with the ability to lead can set an example as pioneers. Unfortunately, the West is losing such ability. According to a Guardian report, The UK will build its first new coal mine in 3 decades at Whitehaven in Cumbria, northwest England. The new mine will take 2 years to build and will produce an estimated 2.8 tons of coking coal a year, which is used in the production of steel. Burning a pound of coal emits 2.7 pounds of carbon dioxide. The UK government seems to be forgetting about the climate commitments it has made in the past. At last year's COP26 climate change conference in the UK's Glasgow, the UK set the goal of accelerating the phase out of coal. In 2019, it committed to reaching net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said in his speech at this year's COP27 last month that Britain is morally right to honour its climate change commitments. In June, the UK's climate change watchdog warned that the plan to build a coal mine in Cumbria is absolutely indefensible because the resulting pollution would blow holes through the nation's pledge to reduce emissions by 2050. In similar moves, France has rebooted a coal-fired power station to secure the country's electricity supply over the winter. A hard coal-fired power plant in Germany is also back in operation due to the gas supply crisis. While in the US, the Supreme Court ruled in July to limit the Environmental Protection Agency's ability to resist and restrict greenhouse gas emissions from power plants, a significant setback for climate action. Against the backdrop of the Russia-Ukraine crisis, Western countries broke the energy supply-demand balance with Russia, not only dragging themselves into an energy crisis, but also pulling the whole world to bear the consequences. When these old-brand capitalist countries put their narrow interest above the country's long-term interest and the common interest of humanity, this overshadows the efforts in coping with climate change by the world, especially developing countries. Climate change is one of the most important agendas facing humanity. It requires the cooperation of all countries and should transcend geopolitics. But the experiences in the past decades show that in Western countries, climate change actions are subject to their foreign political and economic objectives. This means the West will only talk high, but act low, and be strict with others while loose with itself. This is what hypocrisy entails. For a long time, Western countries have used climate change and carbon emissions as political tools. Behind the climate agenda is a set of geopolitical tools crafted by Western countries to suppress developing countries. They label themselves as a pioneer in coping with climate change, while using climate change as an excuse to block development of developing countries so that they can't continue to enjoy the benefits they once exploited. Be bossy as always and retain their discourse power and dominant position in the international system. The West has not paid back historical debts and now it is owing more. Shen Yi, a professor from Fudan University, told the Global Times that Western countries took the lead in completing industrialization while emitting carbon dioxide recklessly, and they have an obligation to help developing countries reduce carbon emissions. However, Western regimes not only transferred their industries to developing countries to enjoy the high quality and cheap products from developing countries, but at the same time required developing countries to pay for carbon emissions. This is sacrificing some people's interest to realize others' governance model. For the West, emission reduction is not a rigid task, and it is just normal to sacrifice long-term goals for current political objectives. Xiu Liang, an associate professor at the School of International Relations of Beijing International Studies University, believes that Western regimes such as the UK should explain and apologize to the international community because they delay the global process of tackling climate change. But the question is, do these countries have the will to bear international responsibilities? For them, international responsibility is just a false proposition. Meanwhile, the website of Common Dreams noted, with a global biodiversity summit underway in Montreal, Guardian columnist George Monbiot recently took aim at the US for its active and deadly cavalier attitude toward the rest of the world. An example, other nations follow. Although U.S. President Joe Biden recently appointed Monica Medina as the first special envoy for biodiversity and water resources, and his administration is participating in the 15th Conference of the Parties, COP15 of the Convention on Biological Diversity, CBD, the U.S. is notably not a party to the treaty, which was drafted in 1992. In fact, the U.S. is the only United Nations member state not to ratify the treaty. The other 192 UN countries, the European Union, Cook Islands, New and Palestine are also parties to the CBD, leaving the U.S. in the company of just the Holy See, the government of the Roman Catholic Church.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your
mercy, send me a peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This beautiful hadith is about a very important topic, a topic which is central to the Islamic worldview, and it's very important in Islamic ethics, and that is the fear of Allah. You know, we know that many verses, many hadiths have been related regarding the fear of Allah, about taqwa, or makhafatullah, to put it in other words. If there's no difference between the two, there might be some subtle difference between the two. We don't want to go into that, but in general, we know that this fear of Allah is the sole criteria for the nobility and superiority and virtue of a human being in the eyes of Islam. There's a famous verse in the Holy Quran, which you all have heard, which says that the most noble of you are the most pious of you. Inna akramakumullah indallah atqakum. The most noble of you, the most virtuous of you, according to God, in God's eyes, is the one who is the most pious. The famous verse of the Holy Quran. Right? And, you know, many virtues, many beautiful effects have been mentioned for the fear of God. In this beautiful hadith, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions the caution against fearing other than Allah. Right. So not only is fear of Allah a virtue, but the fear of somebody besides Allah is a vice, and it has very bad repercussions in this world and also in the hereafter. Let's look at this beautiful hadith together and see what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. The Prophet said, Allah does not empower anyone over man except whom he fears. So if somebody fears another human being, or fears not even another human being, a power, a something, like for example, he might be afraid of dying, he might be afraid of disease or of poverty, anything. If somebody, or another human being, if somebody becomes fearful of him, God Almighty will empower that thing or that person over this human being. And there won't be any way to escape from it. The Prophet, in continuation, he says, if man was to fear none but Allah, Allah would not allow anyone else to dominate him other than himself. If somebody was to fear only God, only fear Allah, nobody could dominate him. The only person in charge of this person would be God himself. And obviously, when God is in charge and takes care of a servant, right, the affairs of the servant come to order, you know, they become rectified, and the person achieves felicity in this world and the hereafter. In continuation, the Prophet said, Man is not assigned to anyone except him in whom he places his hope. And if he hopes in none but Allah, he will not be assigned to anyone other than him. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at caution against fearing other than Allah, in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma.
صلِّ على محمدٍ وآل محمد اللهم صلِّ